ShareCare, helping you get younger, get guidance, get better care, get smart, get fit. Radio MD presents ShareCare Radio with Daria Long Gillespie, MD.
Our next segment is our weekly ShareCare Health Makers interview. The ShareCare Health Makers series brings together the best minds in medicine, wellness, science, and technology to provide candid, thought-provoking insight into their respective fields. They also share their visions and concerns, from the future of healthcare to using technology to manage an aging population, to how diet and exercise can alter our genes. Today we'll be listening to Dr. Joseph DeRisi, a pioneer in genetic research techniques. His research in genomics has helped physicians further their understanding of malaria and other diseases. Dr. DeRisi will be discussing how genetic sequencing can provide better treatments for illness and disease, and how genomics will change healthcare in the future.
My lab attempts to use new genomic technologies to understand the cause of diseases that may be caused by viruses, but we don't know. One of these technologies is called next-generation sequencing, or ultra-deep sequencing. You've probably heard of sequencing the human genome, a major, major project that took 10-plus years and a whole lot of money. Well, what you may not know is that the cost of sequencing, that is, reading the genetic code, has actually dropped about 50,000-fold in the last 4 to 5 years. This is a major revolution. Nothing in science changes by 50,000-fold in that space of time. For example, take Galileo's telescope. Compare it to the Hubble telescope. That's only about a 1,200-fold improvement in 400 years of technology development. And yet in the last 4 or 5 years, we've seen a 50,000-fold improvement in our ability to acquire genetic information for the same cost. So this newer technology called next-generation sequencing makes parallel the sequencing of the genetic code. So instead of sequencing one piece of DNA at a time, there are now machines that can sequence hundreds of millions, if not billions, of pieces of DNA simultaneously. So our rate of acquiring genetic information, reading the genetic code from any organism, from you, the virus that infects you, the bacteria on your skin, all that can be done now thousands of fold more efficiently than it's ever been done before. And this enables us to do things that were just not even thinkable 10 years ago. So for example, if there's a sick patient, we don't know what is causing their sickness, and we suspect it might be infectious, for example, a lung disease or something, we can actually take a sample of that and read all the genetic code that's in there. The human genetic code, the virus genetic code, maybe it's a bacteria, doesn't matter. But we're not having to make guesses about what might be there anymore. We go in with an unbiased approach and sequence everything. And then, through a lot of computational horsepower, sort through all the sequences and find that needle in a haystack, that virus sequence hiding out among all the human sequence. And that allows us to pinpoint very precisely what is in that human sample. That capability is fresh and it's new. It's never been on before, been available. My lab, in cooperation with my colleagues at St. Jude, Kip Guy and others, have been working very, very hard over the last decade on the development of new drugs for malaria. Since the advent of genome sequencing, we've now been able to understand all the genes that is in malaria and understand in greater depth how the malaria parasite evades the host immune system, how it conducts its life cycle, and how drugs might interfere with that life cycle, most importantly. And that's opened the door to finding new drugs and their mechanisms of action. This, in turn, will hopefully increase or accelerate the pace at which we can develop therapies. And this is important because therapies for malaria have this constant problem, as most antimicrobials do. Eventually, the parasite seems to evolve resistance. We've been fortunate enough to be able to apply our technology to critically ill patients right here in our clinics at UCSF and at Stanford. A patient comes in, a young woman, who has no travel history, no other risk factors, and has trouble breathing and has a fever. She rapidly progresses to respiratory distress, meaning she cannot breathe on her own. She's headed towards total lung failure. She has all the hallmarks of infectious disease, a fever, But examination of the lungs turns up nothing. They can't see any bacteria. They can't see any fungus. They send out for all the major diagnostics for influenza, for SARS, hantavirus, even exotic agents you wouldn't normally expect in this region. Everything comes back negative, day after day after day. With our technology, we can actually sequence that sample and understand what the infectious agent is. In the case of, in this particular case I'm referring to, we actually use a predecessor of the technology called a microarray and then sequenced it. And that was able to find a virus that nobody thought would actually be there, one that wasn't on their radar, but that can cause respiratory distress. And that, I think, is a crucial piece of information, because there are a lot of therapies and a lot of operations, for example, open lung biopsy, that you just wouldn't do if you knew that virus was there. The technology that we have today, as opposed to just 5 years ago when we were doing cases like that, could do this faster, better, cheaper, and more specific than ever. And so I think we're on the cusp of a whole new generation of diagnostics, not just for infectious disease, but for autoimmunity, for cancer, for any kind of human condition. And that applies to all the creatures around us as well. Veterinary medicine, the insects we rely on for agriculture, you name it. Although it's too early to tell, and we'll be predicting the future because we don't have all the genetic associations that will be required yet, it's undoubtedly going to be the case that consumers will be able to make very informed decisions about their health care and will have greater certainty about what their genetic code means for the development of chronic disease or other attributes. We don't know what those might be yet, and we don't know how strong those associations will be. However, what's absolutely certain with the decreasing cost of getting a genome sequence, that it's going to happen no matter what. Now, some of the other positive aspects of this is with things like cancer, for which cancer is not just one disease. It may be thousands of diseases. Now knowing exactly which mutation was a driver in your cancer can enable you as the consumer to actually get a therapy designed for that mutation. That's a whole new world. It didn't exist 10 years ago. Only for, I would say, a small number of particular mutations in genes do we actually know with some certainty about what's going to happen. If you have mutation in the Huntington's disease gene, with absolute certainty, you're going to get Huntington's disease. That's one of those very clear, cut and dry cases. BRCA 1 and 2, with very high probability, a woman with a mutation in that is likely to get breast cancer at some point in her life. And these are the heavy hitters, the ones that have the tightest associations. As we begin to sequence more and more individuals and learn more about them clinically, we will be able to create stronger and stronger associations between particular disease outcomes, drug therapies, lifestyle choices, nutrition, and so on, and how that interacts with our genome. Every private citizen who's got a health plan will have their genome. It was once unthinkable that we would sequence, you know, more than a couple individuals because it was such a Herculean task. Everybody will have their genome sequenced. Many already do. And that brings in a whole new age of self-awareness. That is, a patient will go see their doctor or their team of doctors, and they already know what genetic mutations they have and what diseases they may be predisposed to or what risk factors they may have. And the association between risk, disease, and so on is only to become more informative with the advent of having more and more people sequenced. So it won't just be just the dramatic big disease alleles like Huntington's disease or Alzheimer's or certain breast cancer risk genes, but actually the rare variants, the things that cause chronic illness perhaps, will become more strongly associated, and that the information you get for your own genomic sequence will become more informative. People will be more self-aware than they ever have in the history of this planet.
That was Dr. Joseph DeRisi from ShareCare's Healthmakers Collection. This is Dr. Daria, and you're listening to ShareCare Radio on Radio MD. Thanks for listening, and stay well.